Well, the Lord has blessed us with another day in which we can come together and worship Him. It is truly a privilege to be a child of God and to be able to worship Him on the first day of the week and remember the death of Jesus, His resurrection, and to glorify Him and appreciate everyone who has set the priority to come in this medium of this live stream to be able to worship God together. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of ready for this whole pandemic to be over with. I listened to some of the press conference of the president where he talked about this phased approach to getting the economy going again. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to things getting back to some semblance of normalcy again. But the fact is, right now, where we are, we're still right in the middle of the social distancing and having to stay away from everyone and stay in our homes. And so it's bringing some challenges. It's bringing some stresses. It's bringing some strains on us spiritually and emotionally. And so what I did this last week was to write some of the brethren here at Jordan Park and to ask what challenges they were facing and what solutions they had found. And I wanted to share those with you and add to those some of my own suggestions on myself. But I appreciate all of those that made responses and suggestions. One challenge that we face is the challenge of feeling anxious. As one man said, it's stressful and boring. People are coping with kids at home, spouses, social stresses, financial stress, work stress, and the threat of disease. You know, we always have what-ifs. There's always a difficulty with feeling anxious. But in this particular time of so many unknowns, so many what-ifs, it's easy for it to become overwhelming to us. In fact, it's almost a natural response going through a pandemic like this because we haven't been through something like this ourselves. So it's difficult without that experience to not have anxiety within our hearts. So what do we do? How do we cope? Well, there are some dangerous things that we need to stay away from. One of them is the use of alcohol, marijuana, opioids, efforts to try to numb ourselves to the anxiety that we might feel. As one doctor said, or one professor of clinical pharmacology, he said, as social distancing and self-isolation turns from weeks to months, we'll see more online partying, more Zoom parties, and more alcohol consumption. So we're going to hear about more problems related to alcohol abuse. I'd never even heard of Zoom parties before. We're using Zoom to do some Bible studies, but I guess people misuse a lot of things, and they misuse a lot of times alcohol and drugs. And this isn't just a problem today. It's a problem that our culture has. You know, people are going through difficult times, and you hear them say, I just need a drink. I need to self-medicate a little bit. I'm having a difficult time, and so I need an escape. I need to escape in the bottle. I need to escape with some marijuana. I need to escape with some opioids. I need to escape with some other kind of drugs. The problem is, number one, it's sinful. Number two, it's not a solution to the problem. And what I'm concerned with as well is what's going to happen after this is over. I'm afraid there are going to be people who have a long and a lifetime of addiction because of what they start in these difficult times now. That's not the solution that we need to go to. A solution that we can go to is admit that we're feeling anxious and pray to God about it. As one sister said, I've met the challenge by setting aside a specific time each day for Bible reading and study in addition to Billy's daily Bible reading and prayer. In the book of Philippians, in the fourth chapter, in verse 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the problem of anxiety. It was a problem in the first century. It's a problem in the 21st century. And it's a problem as we're going through this pandemic. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Yes, we need to do the best we can. We need to follow the guidelines the best we can to keep ourselves guarded from contracting of the virus or passing on the virus. But when all is said and done, when we've done all that we can do, there are so many what-ifs, so many sources of anxiety. God says, put them in my hands. Communicate to me about what you're feeling in those difficulties, those what-ifs, those times of anxiety that you're feeling. And we know that God is a loving God, God is a powerful God, and God will be with us and help us through all of those uncertainties. So that's certainly something that can help us. And another sister mentioned another passage along those lines, and that's Romans 12 and verse 12, which says three things. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And you know, those aren't three different things. Those are three connected things. How do we rejoice in hope? How do we have patience in tribulation? Well, one way is to continue steadfastly in prayer. Putting it in the hands of God will help us to cope with the difficulties that we have in life. And another thing that we can do is not only talk to God, but allow God to talk to us. And one of the sets of passages that I have found very helpful personally is the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are unique in that all of Scripture is inspired of God, meaning that God is speaking to us through the writers. But the Psalms uniquely use the personalities and the heart of the writer, of David and Asaph and Moses and others, as they express their desires and their feelings and their hearts unto God. They're doing so in an accurate way because God is also speaking through them. And even though it's difficult for us and difficult for me to express my emotions and desires sometimes, these Psalms can actually put words into our hearts to help us to express our wills unto God and for God to express Himself unto us in a very unique way. I find them very helpful when dealing with anxiety myself. And perhaps it's something that you can use, Scripture in general, God talking to you, but also the Psalms in particular. A second challenge that we are facing in these difficult times is the structure of my life has been altered, or the structure has been destroyed. One sister talked about her need for balance in life. And she says that there are times when she's relaxed, when she doesn't have time pressure, and that's good. But she also has responsibilities. She has things that she needs to get done, and she likes that because those responsibilities causes her to have focus in life, and that focus helps her to get things accomplished as she should. But she says, in the time that we have right now, she says, with no time demands, no schedule, no end in sight, I feel motivation dwindling, laziness rising, and focus harder and harder to come by. She says specifically one of the things she was struggling with was Bible study, because before she had a Wednesday night Bible study to prepare for and to attend, and a Sunday morning, and she also attended the Tuesday morning ladies' Bible class, and so that kept her focused. That kept the diligence there. But now that we don't have those publicly, even though we still have those on video and hope that you're taking advantage of those, she found her motivation lacking, and she was concerned with that. Well, there's a danger when we find the structure of our lives being altered, when we find the time crunch not there, and that is to spend a lot of time wasting our time. maybe in playing video games or binging on TV shows or even watching the news 24/7. Now, there's nothing wrong with playing video games, nothing wrong with watching TV or watching the news, but unfortunately, people are getting addicted to these. People are living in make-believe worlds where they're spending hour after hour after hour playing these games. And some of them are filled with violence, with sexuality, with bad language, with disrespect to law enforcement. It's an escape for sure, but it's certainly not a healthy solution to the problem of having our routine broken up. A solution that can help us is to construct a balanced routine. As one brother said, in distressing, confusing times, you need routine. It may be different than your previous routine, but I think we as humans need a certain amount of routine to ground us. The Apostle Paul talks about the wise use of time in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 when he's talking about our responsibility in a lot of areas, but he zeroes in chapter 5 of Ephesians in verse 15 when he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or as the footnote has here, "carefully." See that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or making the most of your opportunities because the days are evil. Fact is, we as Christians are proactive with the use of our time. We live deliberate lives. We don't flounder wasting our time. We don't find ourselves being drug along by the circumstances of life without really any direction to what we're doing with our time. We have responsibilities. We have principles of righteousness and goodness and truth that govern the use of our time. We seek to glorify God in what we do, and therefore we make decisions about the way that we use our time. We make sure that we discipline ourselves, even in times where everything gets turned upside down, so that we can bring the proper glory to God and continue to grow in our spiritual life. And one thing that will help with that is to find constructive things to do. As one sister wrote, "One of my challenges has been feeling useful and productive, so I have tried to put some of my energy into spiritual things I don't always have time for. Reworking Bible class material that I will teach later this year has kept me focused. Also, just calling and talking to some of the folks who live alone makes me feel connected and seems greatly appreciated." Yes, finding those things that maybe we put off because in the hustle and bustle we just don't have time to get to, well, maybe we can get to those now and use our time wisely and in a constructive way. The wise writer says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." Also in chapter 25 and verse 28, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." We need balance in life. We need time to relax, time to reflect, and a plan to work, to accomplish things for the Lord, to live deliberate lives where we give glory unto God. The third challenge that we are facing is we feel lonely. We have difficulty because we can't get out. As one young mother said, One of my main challenges has been not being able to be around people because I don't like to feel alone. Or as another mother said, "For us, the challenge of not being able to get out." One sister in particular, who's taking care of her mother, wrote, "At first I saw myself in the desert with Jesus, and even in jail with Paul, actually enjoying having more alone time with God and His creation. Lately, though, I'm wondering if I'm more like the biblical outcast leper who must assume that because I may be carrying a deadly contagion, I must keep physical distance even from those I love the most. You know, God didn't make us to be alone. He made us to be in a community. He made us to have connections. He made us to have friends and loved ones. And we're not used to being separated from each other. You know, in the prison, the worst punishment that there is solitary confinement. It breaks men. It causes deep emotional distress for people to be put in a prison all by themselves. Well, in a sense, we are in a self-inflicted cell where we're not able to be around other people. And because of that, and we're doing it for the protection of others, but it's going to have some consequences. It's going to have a cost on us. It's difficult to do. Now, there are some dangers with this as well. With any challenge, we can go the wrong way. I've read a book recently about a man who discusses the problem of pornography. It's a sin of the eye, it's a sin of the heart. But this particular author is a counselor who has spent hours and hours and hours with individuals who face the problem of pornography and trying to overcome it. And he's trying to figure out what is the key, what is the root element here that is missing that can help someone to overcome it. And he says that the root, the reason why people, men and women, are caught up in this addictive behavior is because they're longing for a deep connection. And they seek that connection by looking at pornography. The problem is that it's a false connection. It's an empty connection. It's a connection that's going to bring no satisfaction, and in fact, guilt. And I'm concerned that this extra time, this loneliness that people are having are going to cause them to turn to some things that are going to long-term cause a great deal of damage. And not just pornography, but some things that are not sinful of themselves and things that, in fact, can be helpful with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It can be positive to help us keep connections, but it can also, when people are spending hours and hours and hours flipping through and flipping through and flipping through the images and the things that are said on those, can cause some real dangerous consequences. I think we need to be careful about those as well. But there are solutions that have been suggested. As one sister says, one thing that has helped me most is remembering that I am not ever really alone. God is with me. And I always have Him to talk to. I always have His Word to read. We need to continue to develop and deepen that relationship with our God because we are truly never alone. Or as another one writes, we need to make deliberate choices to focus on things that are positive and focus on spending. We have a lot of quantity of time maybe with our families in this pandemic, but focus also on using that to have quality time with our families. As one young mother wrote, we have overcome challenge by sending encouragement to other families by pictures and videos and talking with friends on the phone, focusing on our family and enjoying spending time with them and in strengthening our relationship with them. I think it has made an impact on our kids as well based on the prayers that they are praying. When this trial is over and we are planning to keep some of our family things going, family movies, game nights, walks around the neighborhood, eating home more, etc. And she said this I thought was very significant. She says, you really don't realize how busy you were and letting the busy schedule control your life until you're able to slow down and enjoy the basic things in life. Choosing to focus on the positive things and choosing to make time spent quality time, not only the quantity of time. Another thing that we can do to overcome loneliness is to come to our worship online. Now, it's not perfect. Coming online is not as good as being together, and it will never replace us being able to physically be together in the same place. And I personally miss us gathering together in our worship. And several have asked me, how do you do it? How do you preach as if you're preaching to people when there's no one there? And of course, I try to keep people's thoughts in my mind and pictures in my mind. But just this last week, because of a suggestion that someone had, I actually tried to help the situation by putting all of your pictures on the front row. Let me pull in a little bit closer there so you can see. It's great because, number one, everybody's on the front row. Number two, everybody's smiling. Everyone's awake. And most of you look years younger. But I'm really looking forward to the time when I'm not just staring at some black and white pictures, but where I can actually look at you. In fact, it's probably going to be distracting for me once we have people, actual people in the pews again, to preach with people there. But for now, it has to be a solution that we live with, and that is that we come to worship. We still need to worship God on a regular basis. We need to connect as we can online. And we need to do that with our Bible studies too. Efforts are being made by the teachers to continue to teach some of the younger classes and the adult classes. We're trying to put those online. It's not the best way. It's best to be face-to-face, but it is a way for us to continue to study together, continue to eat spiritual food. Just like we need physical food, we continue to need spiritual food. We can't let that go during this time. We can't put that spiritual nourishment aside. We need to continue to feed ourselves, and we're seeking to do that. As one of the daily Bible readings said, Billy wrote, talking about Philippians chapter 1 and about the grace that we share, he said, "I'm encouraged that Paul was able to continue with brethren. I am encouraged that Paul was able to continue with these brethren in his heart, and they could partake of grace with Paul even though they were physically apart. In light of our present distress and orders to remain home, I am grateful that we still have the ability to share with each other in the grace of our Lord and everything else that we can have a part of as the family of God." We're still able to share in that because we still have the same things in common, and that is the grace of Jesus Christ, the relationship that we have with Him, and the time that we can spend in worship and in Bible study together. Another thing that we can do is to reach out. While still having social distancing, we can still have some connections with people. I've heard about some things, and I'm sure this could be multiplied by many more, but there was a sister that had a birthday, and several people in their cars made some posters and went out in front of her place of residence and made a single file line in front of there. It brought tears to her eyes. It meant a tremendous amount to her. There was social distancing there, but there was still a connection. Or there was a young family that had made some posters, and they drove from house to house, and they stayed within their vehicle, but they showed their posters to the ones that they visited and uplifted them. Another family, we had a knock at the door, and they disappeared, but they did not disappear before they left some cookies for us before in front of the door. It was a way to make a connection. I'm sure there have been a lot of food deliveries. I'm sure there have been a lot of masks that have been made by several individuals. There have been cars that have been made and sent to others. And remember that your phone doesn't only receive calls, but you can actually make calls on your phone. So use that phone to reach out and connect with others. And one other suggestion that I would make is go take a walk. get out, keep your distancing with others who might be walking and exercising as well. But in our neighborhood, I have seen many neighbors that I've never seen before as they get out and walk, and it's springtime, especially when the sun's out and the flowers are in bloom and the trees are green again. It's a glorious time. It's a wonderful time. It's a time of rebirth of nature. And it is an encouragement to get out and simply enjoy the blessings that God has given to us in this nation. So get out and enjoy what God has given to you by getting a little bit of exercise as well. I think it'll help with the feelings of loneliness and being cramped in to one place. You know, we're going through a pandemic that can make us either stronger spiritually or weaker. It's really a choice that we make. For us to be stronger, we need to identify the challenges that are there. We need to put on our PPEs, our personal protective equipment, that is the armor of God, and stay away from the dangers that are there. But we also need to see the path of solutions that God has given to us with 2020 vision and choose to live to the glory of God. I hope that we can continue to have patience and endurance as we go through this difficult time. I hope that we can use it as a time of growth, because the trials of life can lead to a development of character within all of us, so that we can be more like Christ, reflecting His goodness, and that we can grow closer to our God. If you're in need of any help, please let me know, or one of the elders know, one of the members here know, so that we can work together, so that we can pray together, so that we can use this as a time for growth together as a body of Christ. Thank you for your kind attention, and hope you have a wonderful day.